tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. It's Tuesday, June 11th, and I'm Joe Boris welcoming you to another episode of Quick Charge. Starting off the news today, Tesla paid for Elon Musk's boring company to dig a tunnel under Giga Texas. But why? Sources familiar with the tunnel say that it was purely built to funnel Cybertrucks out of the end of line to the other side of the road. The tunnel, which the boring company says will be completed next month, has become significantly less useful since there are now two underpasses, one at the north end and one at the south end, that connect Gigafactory Texas to the other side of the highway. Tesla's goal now is to autonomously send Cybertrucks from the end of the line through the tunnel and into the new staging lot. Now, this is really interesting because, again, we have another example of Tesla essentially providing money, providing funds, providing materials, providing resources to Elon's other privately held companies. In this case, it's the Boring Company. It's not quite the same as shipping millions of dollars of hard-to-get NVIDIA processors over to a company that arguably is a direct competitor, but it's still something to be questioned, especially as we're nearing that $56 billion pay package vote. In other Tesla news, Tesla has ended their hiring freeze. It seems like Tesla is now hiring well beyond AI and robotics, and in a big way. Now, a lot of these jobs being posted seem to be for sales and service and customer support, in addition to some manufacturing, but the majority seems to be in sales and support. And there's been a lot of comments about this, 100 plus comments as I'm recording this. The top comment so far, this is just the kind of erratic behavior which destroys morale and then requires scrambling to try and get people hired quickly to make up for mindless firings. People are then poorly trained in a hurry, setting up the next round of firings and morale destruction. Now, I couldn't agree more with this sentiment, right? We have seen over and over again, Tesla hire some of the most talented people, some of the best people in the industry. And then in recent months, we've seen, I think the word erratic kind of applies. We've seen an erratic sort of firing and rehiring of people. A lot of the people that were originally fired and let go have since moved on to other companies. Some have not. There was a very nicely worded, eloquently written article a few weeks ago that Fred published where one particular person from the Supercharger team came back and they said that they were inspired by the mission. It was something they wanted to continue doing. They were ready to step back in and start right where they left off. And that's great for them. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who are motivated by Tesla's original mission to electrify transportation and end fossil fuel use. But I think we're running out of those people. I think there's something to be said for job security. There's something to be said, yes, for union benefits, pensions, things like that. And I think people are starting to see that this is not necessarily a company where they can build for a future. I'm not saying Tesla's going anywhere. I'm not saying Tesla's going to go bankrupt. I'm not saying any of those crazy things that I've read in the comments in the last couple of months. But that said, I feel like it's going to be a bigger challenge now than it was perhaps a year or two ago to get the best talent out there, whether it's from Detroit, whether it's from Northern California, Southern California, whether it's from China, Japan, Asia, to move to Texas, to uproot their families and move to Tesla just to be potentially fired and let go a couple of months later. I think that's something that Tesla's HR people are going to be challenged with and challenged with overcoming, and I wish them the best of luck. Now, Tesla, obviously, despite all those things, is still the number one electric automaker in the world, and China is the number one nation for electric vehicle production. But number two is a little bit surprising. Germany is number one in Europe for EV production, number two in the world. Germany's automakers manufactured about 1.2 million BEVs and PHEVs, plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, for those of you not from the Midwest, in 2023, putting it at number two behind China. Now, while China dominates global EV production, a lot of its vehicles, most of the vehicles produced there, are sold domestically in China. The German EVs, more than 75% of them are exported, not only throughout the EU, but throughout Asia and also shipped over here to the United States. While we're on the topic of the US, that's the world's third largest EV maker. Or one paragraph that I thought was interesting in this article, DW reported in December that, quote, the Federal Motor Transport Authority calculates that around 10 million EVs will be registered in Germany by January 1st, 2030. Depending on the size of the current vehicle inventory, this would correspond to an EV share of 20 to 25%. Now, I think that's interesting for a couple of reasons. I just want to call attention to it. This does not necessarily indicate that these EVs will be built in Germany, right? This presumably is taking into account that there's going to be Chinese-made EVs, American-made EVs, Japanese-made EVs sold throughout the EU, and that those are also going to be a big part of this forecast. So worth noting there, and good stuff from Germany. Back in the US, we've been talking about record sales from Hyundai, record EV sales from Ford, Kia. Almost every automaker is enjoying tremendous sales of EVs in the last couple of months. One that is expecting lower EV sales this year than last year is GM. GM expects lower 2024 EV sales amid lagging demand. Now, I just want to say, when everyone else is in the salad days and every other company that is serious about EVs seems to be setting records and GM is expecting its EV sales to decline, there is more to it than simply lagging demand. And I think lagging demand is something that GM has to blame, because they can't very well come out in public and say, hey, you know what? Our software was terrible. Our vehicles were bricking themselves and leaving people stranded on the streets. And by the way, we stopped making the Bolt and Bolt EUV right as they were starting to really find an audience. And we don't have an affordable replacement ready. So there really was nowhere for GM to go but down. Now, they did reference it. Jacobson, who's the CFO of GM, did say, despite software glitches and freight delays derailing GM's momentum last year, he said, quote, I think most of those are behind us. And then this photo here provided by GM, this is really interesting because it shows a Chevy Silverado that's nearly impossible to find, a GMC Hummer, which is a $100,000+ vehicle, obviously the Cadillac, which again, $75,000-$80,000+ vehicle, and then the Chevy Blazer, which has had all those software issues and still remains difficult to find. So GM has effectively gone from a maker of a popular, affordable Bolt, Bolt EUV, to a company that really only offers very expensive, high-line EVs that are difficult to find. There was never any way that they were going to grow their EV sales this year, especially with the Silverado delays and the Hummer being what it is. So I think that blaming flagging EV sales demand is really disingenuous when Ford, Hyundai, Kia are having such great months, Audi's having great months, Mercedes is having a great month. I think disingenuous is probably the nicest way to say that, but you guys in the comments don't have to censor yourself. Feel free to tell us what you think about GM's latest EV plans and whether or not they'll be able to turn this around. Now, one of GM's partner relationships in their EV and electrification efforts is Qmerit. Qmerit is best known perhaps as the company that when you go to a GM dealer to buy an EV and you ask them, how do I put a level 2 charger in my house? The salesperson or the finance person or one of the parts people will refer you to Qmerit so that you can have your level 2 home charger installed professionally, cordially, quickly, all that good stuff that Qmerit is known for. Well, Qmerit now has another product, Powerhouse by Qmerit, simplifies the home electrification process and offers bidirectional capabilities. Bidirectional being from the vehicle to the home, from the home to the vehicle. Now, this is really interesting for a lot of reasons because we are starting to see, as home solar becomes more prevalent, as EVs become more prevalent, we're starting to see more and more homeowners actively engage in the process of not only energy production through their solar panels, but energy storage at their home, so that they can use energy that was stored when it was abundant during the day at night when it's not abundant, or perhaps when it's more expensive during the, during peak hours. A lot of different ways that this can be used both to save money and to reduce the load on the grid. So it's always welcome to see more home electrification stuff. Qmerit CEO Tracy Price said, America has arrived at an inflection point in which all of the technical, policy, financial elements are in place to support a societal shift towards whole home electrification. Now what's needed is a comprehensive way to assemble these complex elements into a simple, financeable home energy retrofit that makes it easier to implement. That's exactly what Powerhouse by Qmerit brings to the marketplace. The key word there is financeable. Whenever you're doing work on your home, whenever you're doing a home upfit, whether it's a roof, whether it's solar panels, whether it's battery like this, it has been historically difficult to find one contractor who can effectively package all that and bundle it in a way that is not only attractive and easy to understand for the homeowner, for the customer, but also for the banks who are going to be lending the money, whether it's home equity or a line of credit. to do these kind of upgrades to the home. So the fact that Q Merit's been able to bundle this together and they've put together some kind of financing package that you can apply for is really, I think, going to be a critical step towards a wider scale adoption. So good for them. Definitely want to check that out. And obviously, Q Merit, if you're not familiar with them, they are a quote-unquote trusted partner with GM, Ford, Volvo, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW. Just about everybody other than Tesla, quite frankly, uses Q Merit and refers people to Q Merit for home installation. So it's good to see them here. And I think this is exactly what's been needed as a counterpart to Tesla's Powerwall. If you're somebody who wants to electrify your home, but not necessarily a fan of Tesla or giving money to Elon Musk's projects, this might be a great alternative for you. Definitely check that out. Now, in other charging news, Flow, they have a new Ultra DC fast charger that can charge EVs to 80% in 15 minutes. This is a made in the USA 300 kilowatt Flow Ultra DC fast charger that features a dual port configuration. The company designed these chargers specifically to comply with the U.S. National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program, effectively NEVI, and the Buy America Act, including their 98% uptime requirements. So this is a great product from Flow. Flow is a Canadian company. We have a long history together that if you're a site owner and you're looking to put in electric vehicle charging, you want to get those NEVI dollars, this is a product that's designed specifically to meet those requirements, to deliver on those needs and make that application process and hopefully that award process that much easier. So good for them. That was June 11th, 2024. Be sure to like and subscribe if you liked what you heard. If you didn't like what you hear, just let us know about it in the comments. We'll fight it out there.